Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAYTOWIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
And I'm Dylan. This week, we're talking about this or that in CEDH.
Would you rather?
Would you rather? All right, I'm into it.
Is what we're going to play. Yeah, so I'm very excited about this.
You have a couple of scenarios, suggestions, things of this, things or that nature. We're going to talk about which one would be better or worse.
The rules are going to be as follows for this. You have to choose one of these. You can't pass.
Okay.
But you're allowed to ask as many follow-up questions as you'd like.
Okay, I'm into it.
Me and you are each going to choose one for ourselves, too. We can talk about why they're bad and why we might not like the thing we are going to say that we choose. But again, we still have to choose something.
Wonderful. Okay, I'm on board. I get it.
All right, so the first one's pretty standard. It's like a control would you rather here, just okay. To get a sense
yes.
For this. So would you rather ban Thassa's Oracle or ban Rhystic Study? I feel
okay.
Like these are the two most popular cards that people yeah. will talk about for bans in CEDH, so I figured why not just put them up against
yeah.
each other? If you had to pick one to ban, which one would you?
So I feel like Rhystic Study and Thassa's Oracle both are, like, there's an argument for why they are the strongest card in the format. Rhystic Study probably does, like, the single most overall to a game just by being in play, but Thassa's Oracle is, like, the most efficient win condition that we have. So there's definitely a good reason to ban either or both of these cards. Not that I'm saying that either of these cards should be banned, but if you're looking at it from, like, a power level perspective, which Wizards is taking over the format soon, so maybe they are. Rhystic Study and Thassa's Oracle, in my opinion, are the two strongest cards. I think banning Rhystic Study would lead towards a... let me think about this. Let me think about this, actually.
Because we already have signpost cards banned that are similar to Thassa's Oracle, but are just, like, way worse and less efficient than Thassa's Oracle.
Yeah, I think banning Rhystic Study would do less to the format. I think banning Thassa's Oracle cuts, like, Dimir from being, like, the very best no matter what color combination. I think getting rid of Thassa's Oracle means that we do have to rely on some other win conditions. Banning Rhystic Study, I don't know that it would actually change the decks that we see. It would change the gameplay and how the games feel a little bit more, but the metagame I don't think would really change at all.
I think you're right. It's kind of like what the Mana Crypt ban
yeah.
kind of did. Like it just made every single deck worse, the same way that a Rhystic Study ban would make every single deck worse, whereas the Thassa's Oracle ban just hits the decks that win that way.
Right, yeah, and although like it both hits blue decks, so I guess there is a world where like non-blue decks get a little bit better, but I don't know that it would have a ton of effect on that as much.
I think I would agree because
blue decks are still going to be good.
Yeah.
The games just look a little different.
What makes blue good is still good.
Yeah.
And the other colors didn't gain a strength to go along with it too.
I think I would prefer to ban Rhystic Study over Thassa's Oracle only because Rhystic Study does, they both do their thing better than any other card, but Rhystic Studies is like far and away better, I think. All of the other draw engine type things, you can play around a little bit easier. And maybe that's not even true because it all fucking depends. Because like Mystic Grimoire, you could just play creatures, but for some decks, that's impossible. And for some decks, it's easier to just pay an extra mana on everything. So it all depends. But for me, I would rather ban Rhystic Study just because I think it would make all the other draw engines see a little bit more play. Whereas banning Thassa's Oracle, the next best thing is still going to win the game.
Yeah, the gap between Underworld Breach reach and whatever the next best win condition is now that Dockside Loops isn't a thing. So I guess it's Devoted Druid infinite mana combos. Yeah.
But then what do you actually win the game with? I guess Finale, like... I don't know.
It just makes it so much harder then too, right? Yeah. Like I feel like all these decks, well, I don't know, like all the, there's already a lot of decks that say, oh, I don't want to play Fastest Oracle, even though it's the easiest way to finish the game. It's a dead card and I don't necessarily need it. I can win the game with Finale, like you said. So I feel like banning Thoracle, I don't know. I feel like it just hurts like a very certain group of decks. I don't know.
It would hurt Turbo a little bit. It would hurt the early wins out of nowhere. But most of the time, I feel by the time that you're winning with Thassa's Oracle, that might as well just be any other thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I guess there is also the argument that there's some decks that like wouldn't exist without Thassa's Oracle because they can just easily get your whole library into your graveyard. And thanks to Thassa's Oracle not requiring you to draw another card, you don't necessarily need something else to go off.
It's an interesting choice again. I'm not really sure which one would lead to a better metagame, to be honest. Like banning the Thassa's Oracle would make the win conditions a little bit different, but the games would, I think, play out mostly the same. The period of the sentence of the game would just be in a different font. It would just happen the same way. It would just be by another card. Whereas banning Rhystic Study, I think, would like change how the games are played a lot.
I think so too.
Which would be like, as a CDH player, that's more interesting to me. So yeah, I stand by it. Ban Rhystic Study over Thassa's Oracle.
I would also choose to ban Rhystic Study too. Yeah, because I do think that I like things that shorten the game rather than extend the game.
Yeah.
And I feel like all Rhystic Study does is like help us get into the mid-range hell a little bit more, whereas Thassa's Oracle is actively working against that and trying win you the game. So although people might not like when the game feels like it ends abruptly, I have two things to say about that. Number one, a lot more Magic formats are coming around to that. Even look at Draft. Someone lands a bomb and then wins the game immediately in a lot of Draft formats now. So I feel like it's the same is going for a lot of other formats. It's just kind of making CEDH feel a little bit more like other ways to play Magic. And two, a lot of times, we've said this on the show before, but things like tutors exist. And if you're paying attention to what your opponents are doing, you can kind of surmise when they're setting up a Thassa's Oracle or really any other two-card combo for that matter.
Yeah, I think a lot of the times we may feel the win comes out of nowhere, but like you're saying, the win doesn't really come out of nowhere. There were signs pointing that something could be happening, an amount of mana, an amount of cards drawn that maybe instead of tapping out for your Timna, it's better to hold up an Orcish Bowmaster or a Counterspell or something like that in the early stages of the game to make sure that you don't die in those early situations.
Yeah, so we would both rather ban Rhystic Study, but I don't think either of us wants Rhystic Study banned, though.
Not necessarily. I would say, though, like, if you were to, like, tell me right now, ban one card to, like, make CDH better.
It probably would be Rhystic Study.
It would be Rhystic Study, probably. Yeah. Which is weird, I think, because it's just fucking...
All the other ones...
Sphere of Resistance, just pay the extra mana.
Well,
but it just doesn't... Because of multiplayer, it doesn't work out that way.
No,
because
it's going to based on what people's are... What's in their hands and what's in their brain at the current situation, which you can never play around.
Yeah, and if you mulligan real low and you have to do anything to stay in the game and you have to feed Rhystic Study two or three cards, then it changes all of the balance and... Yeah, if I were to ban one card, it'd probably be Rhystic.
Yeah, because every other card advantage engine has a drawback.
Like
Esper Sentinel triggers once per turn per player. Poliwag Prodigy is bad. And like Mystic Remora goes away when you don't have the mana to keep up for it too. Whereas like Rhystic Study is around forever, triggers off every card, and that one mana a lot of times is never getting paid for.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely. The other draw engines, I think they're super interesting to try to play around. I think that's like the fun of CDH, but Rhystic Study is just, it's
agreed,
the best one.
Agreed, yeah.
Right? It's
yeah,
like fun
finding
to figure
ways
out,
to play around that.
Like,
that's
I can figure out how to play around this Esper Sentinel. I can figure out how to play around that Ledger Shredder. Like, that's the fun, the joys of CDH, how to play around these cards. But with Rhystic Study, it's harder to do that.
I'm almost talking myself into wanting Rhystic Study banned, but I don't want to advocate for bans because I like the format.
Yeah,
but.
that's another topic.
All right, let's move on. So our second would you rather never be able to play green again or never be able to play white again?
Never be able to play white again. Yeah, green. I like green.
Really? So,
yeah, I think I would much rather be able to play green for sure than be able to play white.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, what makes you want green more?
Wait, sorry, hold on. Let me back up again, though, because we're talking specifically CEDH here.
This is CEDH, would you rather.
Okay,
because
in Magic as a whole, I don't really touch white outside of CEDH. It's like my least favorite color by a lot. A lot of my favorite decks just don't involve it. But in CEDH, Silence is a really good card. It is a little closer. I think I just enjoy green cards better, even though green may not be as powerful as white is right now. The green cards that we do have access to, like Culling the Ritual, I think are just like more cooler, better impact on the game. And
they're
fun. I like mana dorks, and I don't know. I would rather be able to play green than white. I don't know that's because green is better than white. I'm not solid on that. I don't think that's true, but I just enjoy green cards better, I think.
That's totally fair. Yeah. From the CEDH perspective, I would have to choose. I would never be able to play green again.
Yeah.
Just because I do want that power boost and the protection of things like Grand Abolisher. Like, that's all from white. And, like, green has a little of it with Veil of Summer, but I feel like that just gives you a false sense of security for when that fails.
Yeah, you're probably right. The white ones are certainly better. I think also, and I'm playing Timnathrasios so much, so I like green a lot recently, but Timnathrasios also has white, and the deck really wouldn't exist without the white. So
if this was Magic as a whole, I would have to say I would never want to play white. Because even though, like, white is naturally the color I lean to, like, when I draft, for some reason, like, that's, I feel like the effects on the white cards are always better than the effects on everything else, and I'm always wrong about that. But I feel like, A, that would get me away from that, and B, like, after all of, like, the green that's in casual EDH that I play, that's in, like, the 60-card formats that I play, like, it would be really hard for me to leave green out of Magic forever, if it was all of Magic.
Yeah, it is. Both of those cards, I think, are solid support colors right now. I think blue and black are, like, our main, like, primary colors that you are focusing on in your CDH decks normally, and then green and white are great support colors. And then right now, red has a weird spot in my home for CDH, because what it's good for is, like, Underworld Breach, realistically.
Can you name a second thing that it's good for?
Magda. There's one mono color deck in CDH, and it's mono red for some reason.
Yeah.
And Magda's great. Magda's really good. It's a solid tier one deck, I would say.
Yeah, but you have to fill your deck with 99 other cards that aren't Magda, though.
Which is kind of strange. And, like, it's also, like, that's weird to say, because Timnacrom is still arguably the best deck, if not one of the best decks in the format, also playing red. So, like, what I'm saying is not exactly true. Red's good. It's good. It shows up. But the graph on the cards that see play, it's so shallow. Underworld Breach is extremely good. And you know, everything else, like, there's a couple other red cards, Red Elemental Blast, Deflecting Swat, whatever, but, like, it doesn't feel as deep to me still.
Yeah, it's spikes is what it is. It's just these immediate spikes that come up with one card, and then everything else is just flatlining.
Yeah, yeah. So at red, it kind of has a weird home of also being a support color, I would say. Red is not the main, it's not blue or black like your main color, but it can often be a support color. Yeah, I don't know. The question was green or white. I pick green, even though white's better in CDH still right now, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, so our third would you rather. Would you rather counter a creature or remove one from play?
This one feels impossible without any other context. Counter the creature.
Really? You would rather counter the creature? I would rather remove one from play.
What if it's Thassa's Oracle? That doesn't do anything.
Well, that's the one circumstance. And in that case, I could counter the thing that follows up Thassa's Oracle that's trying to win the game, like the Demonic Consultation or something.
Without any information, it feels too high. I see what you're getting
You're allowed to ask follow-up questions.
Okay, yeah, we're allowed to ask follow-up questions. Yeah, what's the creature? It would be the question.
Okay. My answer to that is,
I see what
generally.
You're saying. I think I understand a little bit better what you're saying, that because, like, in CDH, it's better to see what the creature is and what it does and play around it rather than answer it directly and remove it when you need to. So if I were to, kind of, like, take a second look at the question, it's more often than not going to be better to not counter the creature, to either remove the creature or counter something else.
I'm also in a spot right now in CEDH where I want creature counters even less than I previously did with Dockside not here, because the only thing that has an ETB now that I really care about is Thassa's Oracle. Like, Orcish Bowmaster, I can play around, and, like, that's not the end of the world. But Thassa's Oracle is the only one that, like, is going to win the game when it happens. So with there only being one card, like, if I'm okay now no longer building my deck to prevent it from being bad against Orcish Bowmaster, I don't want to build my deck to prevent it being super bad against Thassa's Oracle.
Yeah, that's true. I think right now I would be more willing to have interaction that leans towards stopping draw engines rather than ones that stopping win conditions. Does that make sense? Like, I want my counterspells to be very good at stopping other counterspells, aka protecting my win conditions, and I want my counterspells to also be good against stopping draw engines. So, like, this is obviously a good example, but Swan Song over Strix Serenade, because Swan Song can counter Rhystic Study and Strix Serenade can't. Not because of the creature thing, kind of who cares about that, but I want to lean towards things that, like, dispel. Kind of off dispel recently, because all dispel does is protect my thing. If the question was, would you rather destroy or counter a draw engine, counter draw engine. Like, I would much rather the Rhystic Study than try to destroy the Rhystic Study.
Instead of trying to trigger the draw engine as you're trying to get rid of
exactly, it. Exactly, yeah. So, like, when I'm looking at counter spells recently, I think I'm looking more for those type of things. And I'm definitely with you that, like, Strix Serenade is, to me right now, worse than it's ever been.
Oh, yeah. If you're an artifact or a creature, you're allowed to resolve.
The One Ring, but, like, I don't know.
I guess that
one
is...
One card.
Yeah, that is one card, but that's also a draw engine that, like, we're looking for things to be able to stop. So, yeah in that case, Strix Serenade can get that. But, again, that's one card versus Rhystic Study,
right.
Mystic Remora,
right.
Like, a bunch of other things that Swan Song is able to hit.
Yeah, like,
Swan
Song...
In addition to counterspells.
Yeah, the creature part is kind of irrelevant, but comparing the artifact to enchantment, I'd rather be able to counter Rhystic Study, Mystic Remora, or Underworld Breach rather than the One Ring.
Or Necropotence and Necrodominance, which are also seeing way more play now than ever, too.
Yeah, you're 100% right. So my revised final answer is, in more situations than not, in CDH, I would rather remove the creature, or realistically, if the third option, ignore the creature is what I would like to do. I would like to figure out how to ignore the creature. If there's a Dranith Magistrate out, I'm going to figure out how to win without my commanders, not figure out how to get rid of the Dranith Magistrate. That's going to be my solution. So I don't want to counter it. I don't want to destroy it. I want to ignore it. But if I had to choose, more often than not, I'd rather save my counter spells for my own protection or stopping a draw engine and let most of the creatures resolve.
Fully agree. Yeah, fully agree. All right, so our next one. Would you rather play CEDH in a casual pod or play casual in a CEDH pod?
Oh, neither, but I guess I
would rather.
I guess I would rather play casual in a CEDH pod, because playing CEDH in a casual pod wouldn't really prove anything, and if I lost, it'd be even more embarrassing. You know what I mean? So, like, if I win, I gain nothing. If I lose, it sucks even worse.
Honestly, if you win, you feel more like a dick.
Yeah, it feels even worse. Exactly, yeah. But if I win with a casual deck in a CDH pod, we've been talking about that recently, how that might be more possible now than ever, but that I would much rather do that.
I think I would much rather do that, too. Yeah.
You'd rather play a casual deck in a CDH pod?
A casual deck in a CEDH pod, by far, yeah.
I think there are some of them that could... I wonder if my Edgar Markov, that's like actual... mono vampires deck, if that, not mono, but a lot of vampires. Like, I wonder if that deck could do something at a CDH pod. Most CDH pods run one, maybe a Toxic Deluge, maybe, and probably not. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if they can handle a whole swarm of creatures by turn three or four.
Yeah, I mean, the slower that we get in the format, the more that the format becomes like we were talking about last week, where you're disincentivized to play good strategies with a bad commander instead of just like playing your bad commander's a bad way to say it, but I should say a less popular commander.
Yeah.
Instead of playing that less popular commander to its strengths and its full out. So like we were talking the other day about an Edgar Markov deck that has like Razaketh builds in it because like you play a couple of cheap vampires that let you make extra vampires to get extra tutors. But like you're kind of forcing yourself to play a bad strategy to make Edgar Markov work in CEDH.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe just the better Edgar Markov strategy is just pump up Edgar Markov to a 10 because you're playing all the tutors. You're playing like a really good way to like run Underworld Breach and finish the game that way, while also like presenting very lethal board states with attacking creatures too.
Yeah, and so like that's what I wonder. Like if I am building an aggro deck, like Edgar Markov is built to be an aggressive deck and casual commander. But if I were to be able to build it like as strong as possible, I'm not sure how many tutors I would include because tutors are kind of bad in an aggro deck.
That's true. Like, if what are you tutoring for?
Like, if my plan is to, like, beat face, wasting mana to do nothing and put a card into my hand and then having to spend more mana, tutors are so good in CDH because win cons are one card or win cons are, like, all I need is this one thing to find. But, like, with Edgar, I'm building a board that's wide. There probably would be a couple tutors that I could find that would find the big lords or the draw effects and like whatnot, but I don't know that I'd be jamming every tutor in there. I don't know that I would be jamming even Underworld Breach. I mean,
I can see that. Like, I feel like there might be times where you just need an I win the game button. Like, that's the only reason why I bring up just like having Underworld Breach and like a way to be able to do that. But I think you are onto something with the tutor part though, because when I think about a deck that wins through combat damage all the time, I think about Winota. And that deck, I mean, was in bad colors.
Had no tutors
but
options.
But, like, the tutors that it did use were, like, the recruiters, which were, like, things that worked well with the deck that you could get out for free to then go get the thing that you needed to help progress you to. So I feel like if you had tutors that would be able to get, like, the Oathsworn Forerunner, what's the guy that, like, brings a vampire to the top of your deck?
I know, what is the name of that card?
something
like that.
It's
from our Ixalan block.
It's a three-mana white one. Yeah,
it's original Ixalan block, but like more cards like that, I feel like that not only build towards your game plan, but also are tutors instead of Imperial Seal for Imperial Seal's sake.
Right, yeah. I think also I would probably run the Oathsworn Vampire Phyrexian Altar combo that Edgar has access to with the Blood Arts effect.
Oh, that makes way more sense. That's your I win the game button.
I think I would do that because there would be certainly some changes that would make. I'm not running any Blood Arts effects right now. I would run all of those in that situation.
Oh, for sure.
I would run probably Enlightened Tutor to help find like the artifact and a couple other things. Put Bolas of Citadel back in. The version that I'm playing right now is very much like a vampire themed deck. Yeah. There's probably 15 or so cards that I would change. Specifically, I think like the interaction I have Anguish on making in that deck. That just wouldn't work at all.
Oh.
You know what I mean? I would feel really bad.
But you would, that's another way that you'd be able to completely
revamp?
Yeah, and like
vamp?
I was even better than the one I was thinking of. Yeah. But yeah, so that means that it's just way more efficient than that way too, which I think really makes it so funny. After all these years of online gatekeepers saying, no, your deck is in CEDH because your commander doesn't, you know, draw cards or do something like that, is now like we're at a time in the meta where that's completely turning around.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm not sure. I still want to play this out. I'm not really sure if that actually is how things would go. But I think deciding something is or is not CDH, we've always had this talk that it's all CDH. Some of it's just bad
it's just
CDH
bad.
Decks,
but the
right?
line, the line's way it, more blurred
it's more
now
blurred
than it
now
ever
than
was.
Ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
So, all right, so we would rather play casual in a CEDH pod because we could still win that game.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Would you rather ban all partners or ban all fast mana from Commander? If I had to choose one,
I wouldn't ban all partners because banning all partners, I think, would just like isolate a few commanders to the top, and it would like remove a lot of diversity in the format. I think people maybe are under the assumption that if partners are gone, other decks like Kess or Xur would become popular and good again, but I don't think that's what would happen
at all.
It's
the same thing like what happened when Mana Crypt and Dockside were banned. Decks that were bad are still bad. They're not gaining anything from there being no partners.
Yeah.
So I think I totally agree with you. Like Najeela, Sisse, like Magda, like Yuriko, Kinnan, these decks that can just do the CEDH thing on their own and still be really good in the small amount of colors that they have are going to super outshine every other deck that is available. Because
they do that now.
So what would change?
Only thing that would change would be those partner better decks would stop halting the Yuriko deck. So like Yuriko wouldn't necessarily get better, but it would just be the last one remaining. So like Yuriko, Kinnan, Magda would be tier one, I think. And then that maybe Najeela and Sisse, probably just Sisse. And that would be it. So I think the meta would shrink a lot. So I don't want to do that. Banning fast mana would also suck, but man, banning all fast mana would make Rock'Sai impossible.
Well, and it's tough too, because I feel like fast mana is like a major selling point to CEDH. Like part of the reason why we play this format is because we get to do busted things very quickly. So I feel like it also takes away a lot of the identity of the format too.
Yeah, that's true. And maybe banning the partners. I mean, I do like a nice small meta. It makes it really easy to help figure out what you want to play against and what you're going to play against. That's so true.
And like, you don't have to worry about like running into a lot of different things. Then you can just play for a smaller metagame.
I don't even know what you would play as the turbo deck. Like, what would the turbo, if you were to ban partners, what commander would play the turbo role?
Magda could play the turbo role. Like,
no,
Magda-
like I'm like specifically Ad Nos, like a turbo Nos strategy, an all in Grixis strategy.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know. Like, it's something that's just the
Cormella,
colors.
Cormella, maybe? Or
Cormella would still be really fast. I mean, Kess is still in the
maybe
colors,
Anala,
too.
Something like that. As far as gameplay, to be honest, if fast mana was banned, what would be the appeal to play CDH then anymore? I don't even know if I would. Maybe my answer is the other one. Maybe I'd rather have partners banned.
So banning all fast mana.
That would make it much less interesting to play, I think, because that's one of my appeals is powerful things.
Here's
to
my
play.
Follow-up question. What all is considered fast mana? Like the 0 and 1 mana rocks? Like, and is Grim Monolith
it's your
fast
question.
Mana?
I would say anything that makes more mana than it costs.
So Dark Ritual's banned.
Dark Ritual would be in part of that.
Yeah, I would say too. Anything that makes more mana than it costs. Is Silvala banned? Like things that scale. Do we ban Marwyn the Nurturer too?
Fast mana has to be on its own, I think. So things that require other things aren't fast mana. Like Silvala requires another creature. It's not fast. Chromox is fast mana.
Okay. Even though it does require something else. Like Chromox on its own does nothing. That's what
I
mean.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Yeah, but it doesn't require a mana investment.
It's still more mana.
The thing that you need isn't a mana investment.
That's a good point. Yeah.
The Silvala thing that you need is a mana investment.
Yeah, for the sake of CEDH still being around, I feel like I would have to ban all partners,
it would suck though. It would be lame without the partners.
Because partners is my favorite mechanic in Commander. Like being able to have two extra cards in my hands is a huge selling point for playing partners, I think. So
I think my final answer is I would rather ban partners when I come full circle, just because the fast mana is like one of the bigger selling points to me of the format. Otherwise, it's just casual. Then.
We're just playing like high power casual.
I mean, like, I guess it would be eventually would be redefined, but that would be lame. So yeah, I'll say I would rather ban partners.
So fast mana is the only thing separating CEDH from casual.
Not
EDH.
The only thing, but like the most notable thing, I think. Like
the most obvious thing.
The
for
most
me,
obvious.
At least.
Thing.
Yeah. Followed by other things like efficient tutors and stuff like that.
Yeah, free interaction, efficient tutors, and efficient win cons. All of those things plus fast mana are CDH.
I agree.
But removing partners doesn't remove a section of CDH. It just swaps the metagame a bunch.
And this is all we're speaking very arbitrarily and vaguely. Because
this is all
hypothetical. if you play Deadly Rylek in a casual deck against me, I'm not gonna say you're playing a CEDH deck.
Oh, certainly not.
But
yeah.
But it's like our guidelines. If you've seen our casual episodes, like these are all our guidelines.
Yeah, that one's that one breaks my rule because it says the word commander on it. I don't play any
that's
words
true,
that say
that's
commander
true.
In casual.
All right, so we would ban partners. We would be very sad, but we would have to ban partners.
I think so, yeah.
All right. Would you rather have Mystic Remora for turn one or have Rhystic Study for turn two?
Hmm. What's my seating order?
Fourth.
Fourth
either
way?
Fourth either way.
Huh. Do I know what my turn one play is if the turn two Rhystic Study is just mana or something?
You have nothing on turn
one.
You have nothing on turn one because
it's just like land,
your next
ancient
land
tomb.
Is Ancient Tomb Rhystic Study. Yeah, that's what you're setting
I'm
up
going
for.
Fourth either way.
Or maybe I'll allow you to have Chromax, like one piece of fast mana and on turn one and then go land for Rhystic Study too.
Do I know what decks I'm playing against?
This is tough because I want to – now I feel like I have to set up a pod that is not going to be biased towards one or the other.
Yeah.
You're playing against
it can be
three blue farm players.
Three blue farm players. Okay.
That pod from hell.
I would rather the Mystic on turn one still because a lot of the times blue farm can be pretty set up by turn two. And if there's a Rhystic Study on the end of my turn two and they go into turn three, they may not need to cast spells anymore. They maybe already have Timna in play and they can just hold up mana. And then my Rhystic Study can really be really bad that turn cycle. Whereas if I do Mystic, and this is just gut. I have no fucking clue, right? But I'm thinking that if I go Mystic on my turn one and they go into their turn two, they're going to want to play a Rhystic Study of their own. They're going to want to advance their own Born State, which might be Timna, and that might not draw me a card, but it might be. And I think on turn two, a lot of the times they are more willing to tap out than turn three. Turn three, I think Blue Farm is very willing to not tap out if it doesn't need to.
I'm glad you asked those follow-up questions because in a vacuum, Rhystic Study on turn two. Oh, that's like the best card ever. Like,
that's true.
I just want that. But like when I know the pod and I know that I'm going last, Rhystic Study on turn two going fourth means that your Rhystic Study is for everyone else's turn three while you're tapped out and they're hitting a major turning point.
Right.
And all the decks that think, oh, I can sneak in a win, don't think you have like free interaction because it's such a small percentage of chance that you have free interaction. Also because Pact of Negation doesn't count. Yeah. And going forth, like at least you are ready to do something, you're turned one. Yep. Everyone else is going to at least have to consider you as a player. You'll be able to go into turn two with ideally another land and be able to interact on turn two moving forward in this specific scenario. So I think I have to agree. If I'm going last against three blue farm players, I'd rather have turn one Mystic Remora than a turn two Rhystic Study. If the scenario was slightly different, I might switch it up.
Yeah, definitely. If the scenario is different, there's certainly a good argument for Rhystic Study turn two first. But yeah, kind of like what you were mentioning is like, if I go turn one Mystic Remora, that means on turn two, I can hold up one mana and still have kept my Mystic Remora around, right?
Or I could like at least use that mana to make more mana to keep my Mystic Remora around even longer than two. Like if I play a Soul Ring or something with that other land.
In the pot specifically, because of how blue farm in my experience tends to play out, I would think I would just rather earlier. The earlier the better.
Yeah, and again, if we said three Tim to Thrasios, I might want Rhystic Study on turn two because they'll probably go Dork, Dork, Thrasios, Thrasios with my Mystic Remora there, and blue farm is way less likely to do that.
Yeah, Tim the Thras can outlast a Mystic Remora forever and like never really like need to pay for it, whereas Blue Farm eventually will need to pay for it to do stuff.
Maybe I did end up setting up a scenario that was super biased towards Mystic Remora, but I think that's
if you
okay.
said if it was three Tim the Thrasios players, I think I would, I would say turn two Rhystic Study, I would rather, because I want this game might go to turn, probably is going to go till turn eight.
They're not doing anything for the first three turns, except for also setting up two.
Right, yeah. So whereas a blue farm, three blue farm players, the game is going to probably end by turn five. So yeah, it changes.
We have some pretty good deductive reasoning skills. Who knows?
We have thoughts. I don't know if any of this is right. We don't, you know what I mean?
This is how I play the game. I think they're all right. Yeah.
It sounds good to us.
All right. Next one. Would you rather play Pauper EDH or play Dual Commander? Two formats I don't think we've ever played.
Never played Pauper EDH or Dual Commander. Probably Dual Commander.
So Pauper EDH, you get to play an uncommon as your commander, and then the rest of the cards in your deck have to be commons.
Which doesn't make any sense to me.
That's not as fun for me. I don't like Pauper in general, so...
It just doesn't make sense. I thought Pauper was all commons. Why are you calling a Pauper? Call it something else.
I guess that's true.
Right? I don't know.
Prince CEDH is what that is then.
I've never been a huge fan of Pauper formats. I like the rares and the mythics. I think they're the cool cards, so cutting out the cool cards feels lame to me. It's like Star Wars without the lightsabers, but... I mean, I would be willing to try it, I guess, but I have no real interest in brewing any there. Dual Commander I'd have more interest in, but that's another one that I feel like is closer to like Legacy and Vintage that I would think I'd prefer to play, and I want to use my Commander cards in my CDH and Commander decks rather than in my Dual Commander deck, so I have to like proxy. What about you?
Oh, dude, I'm looking at the ban list for Dual Commander, and already I'm confused and I hate it. There's restricted cards that are banned as Commander only, and then there's a bunch of individually banned cards. There's a ton of individually banned cards. This ban list is so big that it's like, oh my God, what am I supposed to do?
Can you give me some examples of what's on it?
Yeah, let's take a look. Food Chain. Already
out. Next question. This format sucks.
Pauper EDH is my choice. Great. Okay.
All right.
Next one. Would you rather WotC design cards for Commander or WotC design cards only for 1v1 formats?
Only 1v1.
Yeah. I don't think this is a hot take at all.
Yeah. I like that Commander is the format that gets the cards that work in a way that they weren't intended to work. I like that it's the I don't want to say like the reject cards, but like I like when the cards aren't built for the format.
I already don't like that every card now says each opponent instead of just target opponent, because I feel like that made so many cards unplayable in Commander anymore, and so many commanders completely outclassed that like we'll never see them unless you're purposefully building towards like a little bit more jank.
Yeah. I think my fear of WotC building for Commander is my fear is that power creep would just grow too quickly, too exponentially. And I think them brewing for other formats is what allows the format to stay in check for so long.
Because when they brew for... When they design for Commander...
Design, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
When they design for Commander, they... print cards like Jeweled Lotus and Dockside Extortionist, right, which bust the format wide open.
Right, yeah. But it is kind of a double-edged sword, because I do like that Wizards is paying attention to Commander and they're building cards that are interesting in Commander. It's not super fun all the time when I get to look at a card like Archon of Cruelty, one of my favorite cards ever, but can basically not be played in Commander at all because it says target player, rather than each opponent. If it said each, maybe it could, but because it can't, it really can't be played in Commander at all.
I think my vote would still be... I would rather have WotC only designed for 1v1 formats instead of Commander.
Too. I think so,
I do think that that makes Commander more of the fun, casual format and kind of brings it back to its roots.
If I were to be honest, in a dream world, I think it would be nice to have Wizards building cards for the set, for CDH. I think that actually would be very cool. But the way it stands right now, I feel like I would rather them just not from the way that it looks.
To be fair, they have 35 years. How long has Magic been around? Almost 35 years.
We just had the 30th anniversary like last year or something.
Was that just last year, though, now?
At this point, it might have been technically 2 years. I think it was 23, right? Because it was 93 that Magic came out?
I don't know.
I think.
93. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Magic is 1 year older than me. So 32, it's turning this year.
My non-jaded answer to your question is I would rather Wizards of the Coast build for Commander. Yes, I would rather them build cards for CDH specifically.
All right, would you rather implement a point system instead of a ban list for Commander, similar to like Canadian Highlander, or would you rather implement banned as Commander for the Commander ban list?
Oh, neither.
With like the possibility of Leovold or Golos being able to be in your 99, but not in your Commander.
Both of those make it unnecessarily confusing.
Yeah,
I think.
You have to choose one of them. Yeah.
Banned as a commander or what?
Or a point system.
So like Underworld Breach would have like 7 points.
Yeah,
out of 10
it would be
something.
Kind of set up like the, maybe not exactly the Canadian Highlander
Banned as commander.
One. But...
Banned as commander, definitely. The points thing feels weird to me because like what if you're wrong about your points? And I don't know that through our game because I don't see the amount of things that you get and you don't get deck checked throughout the tournament. It would make me like unnecessarily skeptical. And not saying that anyone does that, but like unless you're supposed to display your points at the beginning of the game before you shuffle, and I don't know that about the format, it feels weird to me. Like you could have any number of things, and if you don't get checked, you're
I don't know. Points systems can change then too. And if someone like doesn't know that like the points are different then, like that's way harder to build your, you can't just like swap out one card as easily, I feel like, because now you want to completely revalue how your deck is built at that point.
Yeah, so I would not want that one, I don't think.
No
I
point system.
Yeah.
We would rather
I would much rather
Banned
as commander.
Yeah.
Yeah, much rather Banned as commander. And then I think Naidu's fine in the 99.
Naidu, I think, would be way more fine in the 99.
It would be like a fine win condition that would be kind of like exhausting to go through, but people would be able to scoop at the same time they would scoop to Gitrog combos
or
Underworld Breach combos.
Sakushima, really,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like it would just be part of the win con. You would get it out when you're ready to win the game, and it combos with things that are not just in blue green that would be like easy to set up as like a two card win con, basically.
Yeah, all right, I would be on board with Naidu as just banned as commander if this was the case. Yeah,
I don't think we should do that, but if in this scenario where we have to pick, I think that one would be like safe and fine, probably.
Yeah. I would rather do that than instead of a point system, too. I think the point system just gets way too confusing. Using that and just anything that requires me to do math like before I build my deck, not interested. Not interested. Fair. All right. Would you rather, this is our last one for
last
today.
One, okay.
Would you rather give the player going last a free Lotus Petal to kind of make up for the fact that they lose more often going forth? Or would you rather remove drawing a card if you're on the play from Commander? Again, in order to make up for the fact that if you're on the play, you win most in CEDH.
Yes. What's better, an extra treasure or a less card? This is hard because one card is worth more than one mana, right? So removing the card would be a bigger disadvantage
than gaining a treasure
would be an advantage for team four.
I would look at it as you would get to draw two cards though, because one of the cards, I was thinking of this, the free Lotus Petal as like the coin in Hearthstone. Yeah. My brother texted me yesterday, Hearthstone's 10 years old now.
Oh, wow.
That's fucking wild. Yeah. Oh,
wow. It feels older for some reason.
The way that game works is if you're on the draw, you get what's called the coin, and the coin is a Lotus Petal. You have to cast it. There were times like you could take advantage of the fact that your opponents had to cast an additional spell on the turn that they used it. But
In this situation, how does that work?
But they could bank it. Like, you don't have to use it on turn one. You could save it for later down the line.
Let me clarify this question. For turn four, you're casting a Lotus Petal. That's how it would work.
You would have an additional Lotus Petal in your hand to the table.
I don't like that. No, that's worse. If it was
you started the game with a
treasure token in play, yeah.
I guess it can like feed Mystic Remora, which I guess
it can
is
feed
something
Mystic
that Hearthstone
that would be
have
really
to worry about.
That would not be a change, I don't think. If you had to cast it, that would like you would get a bonus because you get to cast it, but you might have to pay in things.
Like, it being interactable in play is what makes me, like, not want it to just, like, start in play.
I think I would rather the first player not draw a card, because that is crazy broken. The fact that you're going first and you also get to draw a card, I think that's a huge advantage. So that would be my change. If I had to change one of these things, that and also having an extra Lotus Petal in your hand just feels confusing to me. And the fact that you have to cast something that you don't actually isn't in the game and it turns on other Mystic Remoras and it, I don't know, whatever, that feels like not a clean fix to it. And since you are gaining the boost of a treasure, but there's also downsides that comes with it, to me, that doesn't feel like it'll actually change anything. So I would rather have the first player not draw a card at the beginning of their first turn.
Me too. Yeah, I think I would choose that one too. Something that I've been thinking of is that this is actually the best way to fix the players going first and second have a tremendously much larger percent chance to win the game. I would be fine if players one and two did not draw on their first turn, yeah, because then it's the same way as it is in 1v1, where 50% of the players aren't drawing on their first turn. I think that makes it way more balanced that way.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, 50% of the players not drawing on the first turn does make it way more balanced.
Because the
yeah.
other thing too is like, you're keeping hands not even on the strength of what that top card is. And a lot of times you go, oh, I just drew Chrome Mox, now this hand's even better.
Yeah.
Like, it makes it feel a little bit more fair in the 1v1 sense, where if we're actively trying to make CEDH a competitive format, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I think the first and second player shouldn't draw a card, and then the third player would be advantage, but the third player gets to go after two players. And I think that trade-off is like more
that's
than...
That's not an advantage.
That's
yeah.
not an advantage anymore. And it also, honestly, it also would speed up the game a little bit, because that first card of new information slows the game down right away
so much.
Sometimes.
How many times have you played against someone that goes, oh, I'm sorry, my draw
changed
everything.
Yeah,
and now
so
I have to rethink.
If we cut that out a little bit in the early stages of the game, I think that would be an overall net positive for CDH.
I think so too. I will actively start campaigning for this. Let's make sure that the first two players can't draw. Let's make this a real competitive format.
That would be cool. I think that would certainly make it a lot better.
I think it's worth trying out.
Yeah.
I think it's worth trying out.
Cool. Would you rather keep the podcast going or stop it here?
Stop it here.
All right. Thanks so much for watching. If you'd like to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Jude Knowles, Spangler, Demetrius Clark, Larceny Roys, Your Boy Blue, Sparky B, Insomnia, SC Phillip, Olden Groupie, Gecko 21, Caleb Ritchie, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean in the Ice, Luke Cook, Demon of Rosgrease, Peter Stewart, Corner Wild, Uncle Butts, Nick Foles, Goto 9, Kawaja A. Hamid, Lauren Connell, Scott Hawk, and Baby Jeebus.
If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at PlayToWinMTG.com.
Thank you, Dragon Shield, for supporting the show. Use our link and code PlayToWin5 for 5% off your orders when ordering from them.
Follow us on social media for more content.
Thank you for watching.
See you next time.
Sarcastic, Roy Turner, Mystic Muffin Man, Zachary Coulson, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Justin Man Solo, Jacob Depp, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson. Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we, Dylan and Cam, talk about CEDH. Well, that's a fucked up intro. I don't know why I tried to do something different.
Maybe start over.
Yeah, I'm going to start it again.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.